We're talking about that loud clap of thunder that's making a lot of rounds on social media. People are saying, yes, loudest they've heard in 60 years. Somebody else said, really loud rolling thunder for a surprisingly long time. It was odd and definitely rattled the windows. Somebody else said, bright lightning and huge clap of thunder at 8:15-ish. I'm in Metairie and near Metairie Road in Severn. Somebody else said, WWL radio weather whiner. It just rained. Geez, that's the same person that, if it were to rain and flood, would say, why didn't you tell me? People, you got to love them. Dr. B joins us now. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. Talk about heat-related illnesses. How you doing, Dr. B?
Hey, Tommy. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm okay. Did you hear a loud clap of thunder at 8:15 last night or not?
I did not hear anything at all.
I didn't either. I don't know. Maybe I was soundly asleep. And if that's the case, maybe it indicates like somebody could murder me in my sleep. And the only thing I ask is don't wake me up first if you're going to do that. July is one of the hottest months for Louisiana. As the temperature rises, so does the risk of heat illnesses. And Dr. B, Dr. Brent Wallace, our friend, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, is going to share some warning signs of these conditions and some tips for staying cool. Cloudy today, not so much of a danger, but it can still be cloudy and hot. What are heat illnesses, doctor?
Yeah, you know, so we see these every summer, you know, even on some days like this, because of the high humidity, it still gets pretty hot. But heat illnesses happen in these high temperature areas. Louisiana is a hot spot, literally. And what happens with heat illnesses is your body overheats and it cannot cool itself down. And there's a whole bunch of different heat related illnesses, but the two that we see probably most common are heat stroke and heat exhaustion.
Let's talk, about heat stroke. We'll start with that one.
Yeah, and heat stroke is actually really the most severe heat-related illness that we see. And a lot of people don't realize, but it's actually a life-threatening medical emergency, because if you don't get quick treatment from heat stroke, it can actually lead to brain damage. Your organs can actually shut down, and people die from heat stroke every day. And, you know, the symptoms that we see and that you really need to watch for, or if you're with a loved one and you start seeing some of these things, this is where you really want to do something about it as quick as possible. We usually, with heat stroke, will see a really high body temperature. It's usually 103 degrees or higher. And then their skin is usually dry and red. So we call it hot skin, as opposed to that kind of clammy, wet skin. We typically will see a fast or strong pulse, and the individual may have a really throbbing headache and complain about a lot of pain in their head. They may have some nausea as well. And heat stroke affects the brain. It affects the central nervous system. So you can have things like seizures. You can lose consciousness or get confused. Mental state can completely change. And so sometimes people will be slurring their speech or really not know exactly where they are or what's going on.
From what you're describing, it would seem as though time would be of the essence on something like this. So what happens if you're experiencing this or you see somebody that is experiencing these symptoms?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, like I said, this is a life-threatening medical emergency. So you want to call 911 right away if someone's having any of these symptoms. While you're waiting for help to get there, it is important to try to cool the individual down. And, you know, so if they're outside, bring them in to the air conditioning, try to let them get a little bit cooler. You can use cool water, a cold shower. And often what I tell people to do is cold compresses. Put little cold compresses kind of in the creases of their body, so in the armpits especially. That'll help cool their body down.
What about heat exhaustion?
Yeah, so heat exhaustion is a little bit different. It's not as severe, but it can lead to heat stroke. So it's kind of like a warning sign. And one of the biggest differences is that you typically don't see those mental status changes, and it's not considered life-threatening. But again, if you don't cool down, this could progress to full-on heat stroke. So typically what you'll see in these individuals is, you know, rather than the dry, red, hot skin, you're going to see skin that is really cool and maybe clammy. These people, rather than being dry, are going to be sweating profusely, so really wet skin. They're going to have a weak pulse, and it'll be very, very rapid, but they may not have an extremely high body temperature. And just like heat stroke, they could have nausea or even vomiting, but more often they're going to be complaining of things like muscle cramps.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about who's at risk for heat illnesses when we come back, some tips for staying cool, drinking water, and more with Dr. B. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health. I got out and cut the grass yesterday to try to get ahead of the rain, and even though it was drizzling, it was still miserably hot. 820 traffic now, WWL. 824, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with a friend, Dr. B. Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, about July being one of the hottest months in the year, and heat-related illnesses, heat exhaustion, heat stroke. We've already discussed that. Who's at risk of this, these illnesses, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, it could be anyone, especially here in Louisiana, but we typically will see it more often in younger children and older adults in particular. And the reason for that is because those age groups tend to have more trouble staying hydrated. Hydration is really critical to cooling your body off, and they can have more trouble regulating their temperature. And then, you know, the other groups that are at risk, anyone who works outside, you know, in Louisiana in a hot, humid environment is going to be at risk. But in particular, people who take certain types of medications, a lot of medications can dehydrate you, and that can increase your risk as well. And then certain health conditions, in particular diabetes and heart disease themselves, those disease states can make it more difficult to cool down. So your doctor or your pharmacist can help you understand what those risks are.
When it comes to being hydrated, Jordan Fiegel, our producer, taught me this a long time ago. I was not feeling well the other day, and I thought, you know what? Let me drink a couple of bottles of water, and I did, and I'll be darned if I didn't feel a whole lot better. So when it comes to dehydration, a lot of people are dehydrated, are they not, Doc, and don't realize it?
Yeah, all the time. I think people definitely don't drink enough water, and you do get kind of those vague symptoms that make you feel kind of bad, and water will usually help. By the time you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated, so you need to be preemptive about making sure you drink enough water.
Why is it so important to stay hydrated?
Yeah, so the most important thing about hydration is that allows your body to sweat. And if your body cannot sweat, then it cannot cool down. That's our primary means of cooling down. So that's why you really need to make sure your water levels are high enough.
How about people that don't like to drink water? They struggle to drink water.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like water. They, you know, prefer flavored beverages. And so one thing you can do is flavor your water. But, you know, don't flavor it with a whole lot of sugar. You can do a little bit of citrus or some mint. There are packets that are without sugar that can actually make the water taste a little bit better to you. You know, it's really good to carry a reusable water bottle. I do that all the time when I'm traveling so that you remember to fill it up and drink a little bit of water. And if you really don't like the water, there are a lot of foods that are rich in fluids. And so things like cucumbers and celery and tomatoes, anything you bite into and it kind of squirts a little bit, that's going to give you extra hydration as well. And then be very careful about sodas because they have a lot of caffeine. Caffeine is a diuretic, so it's going to dehydrate you. And the same is true of alcohol. A lot of people can develop heat illnesses from drinking as well.
Some other hints for staying safe in high temperatures?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things is try to avoid direct exposure to the sun. I mean, you know, if you go out here at noon, it's going to be the hottest that it's going to be all day usually. You know, so try to stay inside when you can. The other thing to keep in mind is if you do have to be outside, make sure that you're wearing the right type of clothing. So don't wear super tight clothing. That's going to keep the heat in and make it more difficult for you to cool down. So you want to wear, you know, kind of looser clothing that allows more airflow. And that's important also because the other risk you have during the summertime here is sunburn. And we know sunburn is very bad. That can lead to a lot of other problems. And so you want to make sure you're wearing clothing that's going to cover your skin and protect you.
And I guess sunscreen's important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, pretty much year round, but especially during the summer, if you're spending any amount of time outside, you want to wear sunscreen. It should be water resistant. The other thing to kind of keep in mind, you can use those cream sunscreens, maybe just about 2 tablespoons of that, but you want to make sure you put it on at least 30 minutes before you're going outside. It needs a little bit of time to bind to your skin and provide that protection. And if you choose to use the spray-on sunscreen, make sure you rub it on, because it's going to go on in these little micro droplets, mm-hmm. and it's going to leave areas of your skin exposed, so you've got to rub it all in.
Final advice?
Yeah, I mean, sun safety is really, really important. You know, living here in Louisiana, you know, the entire summer and really all, even into the fall here as well. So just be very careful about those heat-related illnesses. They can be very dangerous. Make sure you protect yourself from the sun and make sure you stay hydrated.
I certainly don't want to inject you into the vortex of any controversy, but quickly, when it comes to sugar, whether it's corn fructose or cane sugar in soft drinks, you need to be careful about how many soft drinks you have a day, correct?
Yeah, I mean, just like most things, moderation is really key. Having a little bit of it is usually not too bad for you, but, you know, drinking those all the time can have a lot of increased health risk and lead to a lot of disease.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it. You can find out more about People's Health by visiting the People's Health Medicare Center. That's in Metairie 3017 Vets. It's located between North Causeway Boulevard and Trader Joe's. You can't miss it. Appointments are recommended, but walk-ins are welcome. You can also visit their website at peopleshealth.com, or you can call them at 1-800-978-9765, peopleshealth.com. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk to Steve Nelson, General Superintendent of the Sewerage and Water Board of New Orleans, talk about the rain event, about summer weather, and also about a raw sewage discharge that happened. So stay tuned for that. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about accents, New Orleans accents, specifically Dolan. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. 8:45, quarter till nine. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Steve Nelson, General Superintendent of the Sewerage and Water Board of New Orleans, who's got to be feeling, I would think, a lot better about the weather situation that we were facing. How you doing, Steve?
I'm well, Tommy. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me what's changed between now and, say, yesterday or the day before.
Well, thankfully, the weather looks like it has circumvented us. It's either to the south or to the west at this point. So the Almighty's been faithful, and we have not seen significant rain. So we haven't seen more than just a little over an inch here over the last 24 hours. We continue to watch the weather, but not nearly as severe as it could have been.
When we say an inch the first hour and a half an inch an hour thereafter, that sounds good, but it's all about averages and where the rain falls and what drains into where, is it not?
Oh, that absolutely. That is a broad rule of thumb that we utilize. So the system as a whole, and that starts at the catch basin, goes through the lateral, through the canal, and to the pump. So, and that, of course, includes the power system components as well. And yes, it does depend on where that rain falls and the averages. So if we take 2 inches of rain in an hour, some areas will handle that a lot better than others.
So tell me about how the summer's been progressing with the heavy rains that have been falling. I know Algiers got hit a couple of times. I know you had some boil water advisories. Tell me what's happening with the Sewerage and Water Board.
Yeah, it has been a busy summer. Algiers has had at least 2 really heavy rain events here in the last 6 weeks or so. We had one that was statistically a once in a hundred year event. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 inches of rain fell over a couple hours worth of time, and that is significantly more than that inch an hour. So there's a project going on General De Gaulle right now that the Army Corps of Engineers has funded through what's known as our CELA program. That's going to extend that through the Algiers Outfall Canal. That'll help with some of those larger events. Also, the importance of clearing catch basins and laterals. We took that over in January, so we're working to stand those crews up. That's a critically important piece for us. And, as far as boil water advisories, that's something we're working to address throughout the city on a daily basis.
So when it comes to De Gaulle, let me ask you about De Gaulle, because I pass there just about every day because, you know, I'm not going to pay the toll on a bridge. If you go, there's that area under construction. There's the area where the walls of the canal are paved, right, however you want to phrase that. But then there's the area between, say, Cable and Woodland, where I think it's closed in or it's open. Tell me what's going on with that. Is there the same? Is that just covered over, but there's the same amount of drainage, or does something have to be done with that area to improve the drainage or not?
Yeah, so all of those areas from where the construction is at this that you see it at this point to where that Algiers outfall canal turns south, that area where it's an earthen channel.
Are you talking about past Holiday where it turns south?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right.
Yep, as you pass Holiday, that stretch of the canal from Holiday to Tullis in particular has got a lot of trees growing along it. The canal section is smaller, and you can see it in that earthen channel that's still there along De Gaulle. That's a much smaller cross section and not nearly as efficient as when you're able to, as you said, pave it. When it's fully concrete and a concrete box, water's going to move a lot faster. And so what we saw in that big rain event that I mentioned earlier with the 10-plus inches, the canal levels at Station 13, which is the one station that drains the upper coast, the canal levels were multiple feet lower than General De Gaulle. So the water's got to get to the pump station for us to be able to move it. And for that to happen, we've got to be able to increase the capacity of the canal.
And as you mentioned that, I'm thinking, Steve, we can take a break. You can talk about this when we come back. I'm thinking about the Brechtel Golf Course that is all overgrown. Looks like they've begun to cut it. But it would seem to me if nothing's going to be built there, it'd be a good spot for a retention pond to hold water in case of heavy rainfalls. That idea just popped into my head. I don't know if it's been discussed or not. We'll talk about it when we come back, talking to Steve Nelson with the Surge and Water Board. 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 855, 5 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Steve Nelson, General Superintendent of the Surge and Water Board. Steve, I was talking about the drainage on the West Bank, and I see where the canal turns south, and I'm just wondering about, you know, I pose the idea that Brechtel Golf Course that was just fallow, however you want to phrase it, for years and years, looks like event, and now they're starting to clear it a little bit. I don't know what the plans are for that. But has any thought been given to using that as any kind of retention area like they do with Pontiff Playground in Jefferson Parish?
I'm not familiar with any plans for that golf course in particular, but I do know there are several projects. The city's Office of Resilience, ORS, has a number of projects for stormwater retention ponds and basins, primarily on the East Bank. But stormwater storage is always something we want to keep our minds open about, because what you store, you don't have to pump.
I grew up on Lauderdale, and I know how prone that area is to flooding and Shirley Drive and so forth. And it just seemed like if there's a way to pump it to there to hold it, to keep it from getting in people's houses, that would be an idea if nothing else is being done with the land anyway. Let's talk about the power station. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so right now the power station, they're undergoing testing on frequency changer 1. There are 3 frequency changers that will generate 20 megawatts of 25 hertz power. That's the type of power that about half of the pumps and 60% of the capacity in the old part of New Orleans use. That first frequency changer, all of the equipment's been installed. They are testing it right now, and as we've been reporting on, looks like that'll be online and running pumps here in August. So equipment's in place, testing's ongoing, and continuing to move forward.
And that's the new power station that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's the new power station. It's fed by Entergy from 9 Mile. We have a dedicated feed there. The substation is on and is hot. We have power from the substation to that first frequency changer, and that's going to eliminate the need for these older turbines as our primary source of power. So looking forward to that being in place.
So what happens to the turbines after that? Do you keep them? Do you maintain them in case the power doesn't, the plant fails? Or what's the story on redundancy there? And everything costs money, right? And you're like, contractor says I can do anything you want if you got the money.
Yeah, absolutely. So the plan, the operation for us is going to be to run off of Entergy power with that dedicated line, even in the event of a named storm. If we do have some very serious weather, we'll keep on Entergy power. But As a backup, we will be able to utilize through the frequency changers turbine 6 and turbine 7. And those are both newer pieces of equipment. T6 came online, came off of emergency use yesterday afternoon. We had some work to do on that. And then turbine 7 is a brand new jet engine turbine that's being installed as part of this power complex project. And then turbine 5, which is built in the 50s, will be a backup to a backup, and then we will be able to take turbine 4 offline.
And that's gone forever?
And then that will be decommissioned and and gone forever, yes.
There you go. Any final thoughts, Steve, before we let you go?
No, just stay safe. Appreciate everybody watching the weather just as we are. And, yeah, have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. You too. As we get into the heart of hurricane season, everybody worries about losing power. WWL wants to help ease your concerns. That's why we teamed up with Craig's Electric.